first chapter of the book of 1 Peter. Tonight we looked into the first 12 verses. Last Wednesday evening we want to look into verses 13 through 21 tonight, just simply putting this title to the study, Be Ye Holy. Be Ye Holy. And that's basically the subject of these verses. I have put down three major headings as to why we ought to be holy, or be holy because. And we're told in these verses some things that will be an encouragement to us and a help to us tonight. Just as the saints of old needed encouragement, Apostle Peter wrote this particular circular letter that was reaching into several different colonies, and there it would be read and appreciated, and they would glean the encouragement from it. So tonight we'll glean some encouragement from these verses tonight. And there are reasons why we ought to be holy. We understand that the gospel that we have was a subject of the prophets. They tried to look into those things that they were given, and they prophesied of the grace that should come. They looked into the matter of time, and ultimately God sent forth His Son in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law. After we have seen that we have a gospel that will save us and does save us, then He gives us these words to give us a direction of conduct in our lives. I'm afraid today that many have lost sight of the reality of responsibility from a Christian standpoint. We never want to leave the impression that we're preaching works or commitment for salvation, but on the other hand, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a serious, certain obligation that we have. And so let's read these verses and we'll come back and I'll give you the 3 points and a few thoughts under them. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Be ye holy, the Word said. So let me give you these 3 thoughts. The first thing that I see in our text is, be ye holy, because of or for that you are about to receive. Now we understand that there is an instantaneous salvation whenever we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a work of God that is begun in our lives, and the Bible promised us that the same one who starts it will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter now encourages these folks to gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Because he said, he speaks of a hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is not just a subtle hint, but it is a declaration of the truth, in fact, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And you and I are going to receive something when Jesus Christ comes again. Paul spoke of it in this fashion. He said, basically, now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And you thought, well, I was saved back at a certain day, and you were, as you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to be this particular aspect of salvation one day when our Lord comes, that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Our bodies are going to be changed and fashioned like unto His glorious body. So we ought to be holy because of that which we look forward to. I dare say that the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the most sobering thing that can ever be taught. To know that Jesus Christ is coming and we must face Him, and that we will give an account of our deeds that are done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Didn't say anything about our soul salvation. That's a settled issue. But we will give an account of ourselves to the Lord. And we're to be sober, and we're just to hope to the end, or look forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then before he leaves that subject and goes on into another thought in relation to being holy, he points out, don't live as you did in your ignorance, or as you did in your former lusts. In verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You see, we are children of light today. We do have the Word of God. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we have the precious Word of God as the Spirit of God impresses upon our hearts and our minds its glorious truth. And we are to live as children of God. So we are to be holy in light of that which we are to receive. The second thought I see in our text we find in verses 15 and 16. We ought to be holy for God is holy. Just be holy for God is holy. Now there's some things here in this particular passage that will be of interest to us. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. In other words, there's some things here that we want to see. First of all, the one who called you is holy. And if He's holy, He's not calling you to uncleanness. But He's calling you and calling me to holiness, or to present ourselves in a proper light. And not only are we to be holy just in selected times, but He said in all manner of conversation. Now this conversation is not me selecting an individual and carrying on a verbal conversation. I think that would have to be included in it. But it is the whole prospect of life. Whether we're in the church or whether we're on the street, whether we're in the business or in the school or wherever we might be, the Bible teaches that we're to be holy in all manner of conversation. In every particular place that we find ourselves, we are to demonstrate the grace of God in our lives. The one who called you is holy, and He called you to holiness. And you're to demonstrate it in all the prospects of life. And the Scriptures teach God is holy, so be holy. In other words, we do not want to live contrary to the Scriptures. So we see now two things that would admonish us to holiness tonight, or godliness tonight. Something we are to receive, and the one who called us, our God, is holy. And then we ought to be holy because of the price of our redemption. And we find that in verses 17 on through verse 21 of this particular text. Now, if you call on the Father, and that means if you call on Him as your Father, and He is your Father, then live right. If you call on the Father, who without respect to person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So we see that we did receive something from our earthly fathers. We have some instruction that needs to be laid aside. As good as all of our dads were, and I hope you had a good dad, there's still some things that we need to abandon. He didn't teach us everything that we need to know. We learned some things of the world as we grew up, and whether they intended to or not, we were either taught them directly or put in a place that we could learn them. I learned a great deal from folks that I came in contact with, and I present to you that the lost man, the fallen man, can only beget a fallen child. And then, even though redeemed, we have a conversation or a life that was, if you please, ours. But he said that we weren't redeemed from these things by corruptible things such as silver and gold. So that we'll understand it, in the Old Testament there were certain prices that were put on certain things that were to be redeemed. There was redemption silver. And the truth of the matter is that the sockets that the posts of the tabernacle sat in silver sockets. And this was made from money that was what was called redemption money for the children of Israel. That beautiful tabernacle, as you look at it, that portrays Jesus Christ, the thought of it is it's built on redemption. It is not the whole scheme of things as far as we're concerned. In light of God's Word, it's built on redemption. We'd have no claim on God. We could not call Him Father if we were not redeemed. And so there was a time that there was a price that was to be paid for every child that was born. Certain price for a boy, certain price for a girl when they were born. And it was redemption money. But we're not redeemed with silver or gold. We're not redeemed with those things that could be measured in ounces, troy ounces, or whatever they measure gold and silver in and the value put on it. But we were redeemed, if you please, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that should motivate us to walk godly in Christ Jesus. He said, we are not redeemed with gold, silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I present to you the one and the only one who is absolutely perfect and was ever perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. He and He alone could say, I do always those things that please Him, as He spoke of His Father. A lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot, ordained before the foundation of the world, a determined purpose. When Jesus Christ came into this world, there was the, no doubt, the thought of the cross that was upon His mind. There was an artist that I think drew the thought extremely well. With some imagination in his mind, he drew what he presumed our Lord would look like, but vainly he put Him in the carpenter shop. But as he stood in that carpenter shop and he stretched himself as a man would working in that sort of a situation, as he stretched his arms, it cast the shadow of the cross. And that was always there, even from his birth. When they wrapped him in the swaddling clothes, it would speak of his death that was to be accomplished. And every step of his life was a step toward Jerusalem and a hill called Calvary and the redemption of our souls, lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, ordained to that particular purpose. And then we're told in our text that it was manifest in time. Not only was it a plan, but it was a plan carried out. I had so many plans in my life that I have never carried out. I'll have some project that I plan, and after a while I just abandon that plan and go on to another plan. But God did not abandon His plan in the fullness of time. He manifests His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Final thought tonight, our hope is in God. And by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Well, with a hope such as we have tonight, why wouldn't we want to live godly in Christ Jesus? Be ye holy, for I am holy.